Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Pastors Jeff and Crystal did such a great job with Love Thy Neighbor. I was just so excited to be here yesterday and get to be a part of it. And we got to pray with some people yesterday morning. And I know many different groups that were out got to minister to people. And it's just awesome to be able to be an extension of the Lord to our community. We get to be His hands and feet. I have another announcement that I'd like to make. And that is that following today's service, we will be having a baptism. Devin Little, who's right back there sitting next to Josh, he is just this morning given his life to Jesus, and I believe that is something to be celebrated. I believe that heaven is celebrating. I'm excited about it. And directly following service today, right over here, if you go left out of the doors, there's an awning right behind this wall, and we have a baptismal setup out there, and we're going to baptize him. And anybody else that wants to get baptized, listen, there's no wrong time to get baptized. If you want to get baptized, let us know. We'll find another towel around here. If not, there's paper towels or something we'll dry you off with. Or you can just leave the windows down on your way home and just let the wind blow through and dry you off. But I'm so excited for you, Devin. I'm proud of you, brother. He is making a fresh commitment to serve the Lord, and there is nothing greater in all the earth. I'm telling you, there is no achievement that can outrank getting saved and coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and we celebrate that. I'm so excited about that. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 14 as you stand to your feet. In fact, just this past week, I'm reading through the books of Ezra and Nehemiah right now, and the Bible says that they stood together for the reading of the law, and that is why we stand in honor of the Word of God. I want to read John chapter 14, and we are going to read verses 15 through 18, John 14, 15 through 18. We're going to read this and then I'll pray and you can be seated today. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and what he's doing in this moment, I always love to give a little bit of context for the Word of God. What Jesus is doing is he is preparing them for the fact that he's about to go away. Jesus is drawing the end of his time, his tenure here on earth, his ministry. He's been ministering now for about 3 years after he got baptized and he came into his ministry. He's been teaching these gentlemen. He's been walking with them. He's been performing miracles. But he knows the time is drawing near where he is about to die the death on the cross, be buried for 3 days, and be resurrected. But then he's going to go to the Father. So he decides, I need to get these guys ready for what's about to come next. So here's what he says to them as he begins to prepare them. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father. Remember, we're talking about prayer. We're still in our series on prayer. I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Everybody say forever. I want you to understand that today. Verse 17 says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this later, so I want to go ahead and tell this. So many people think, well, why can the world not see him? Why is the world hidden from the revelation of the Holy Spirit? What Jesus is saying is that when you're in the world, you can't receive the Spirit of God. But when you come out of the world and be ye separate and you commit your life to Jesus, then you can see the fact that the Spirit of God will fill you and quicken you and lead you in life. So he's not saying there's only a select few that can see the Holy Spirit. What he's saying is, as long as you are in the world and of the world, you cannot see the Spirit. But when you come into life with Christ, he opens you up to the helper, the Holy Spirit. So verse 18, he says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you for these words that Jesus declared and spoke. And I thank you that the promise that he made, he also fulfilled. I thank you that every single thing that Jesus said, he didn't leave us hanging. He didn't leave us wanting. But he said, I will send you another helper. And he did it. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And I thank you that in Acts chapter 2, those words were fulfilled. And I pray today that we would have a fresh revelation of our need for the Helper, the Holy Spirit. We commit this time to you. I ask that you would anoint me by the Spirit of wisdom and understanding to preach and teach. I pray that you would anoint the hearer today to listen and to receive and be taught the Word of God, and that it would be mixed with faith today so that it could be activated for our lives to bring about a positive result. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. It's so good to be our second week in this building. And I just want to echo what Pastor Jeff was saying. Thank you to everybody that came out this past Friday night. Thank you to everybody. If you've given a dime, if you've given a moment of your time, you are helping build the house of the Lord. And I'm so excited to see what comes of it as we grow. And there's nothing wrong with seeing progress every single week. Ronnie, you're one of my heroes, man. Every time we got a work night, that guy shows up and he just gets it done. And so many people, He came in, and I love this, his heart. He said, well, I wish I would have brought more tools and we could have gotten more done last week. And but because that's just the kind of person that he is. But I'm so excited that every single week, as long as we get something done, we're progressing and we're growing and we're getting better. And I can't wait to see what God does in this place. And more than building a facade, we're building a house. And this is the house of the Lord. That's why when we sang that song this morning, this is a house of worship. This is a place of praise. This is a place where every demon trembles because we are declaring the name of Jesus. And I just want to say publicly, this is the house of the Lord. This is the place where Jesus is glorified and lifted up. Amen. Last week, we talked about unhindered prayer. What is it in our life that can hinder us from having clear communication, access with the Father? And we talked about those things, whether it be sin or the wrong motives or pride or whatever those things can be in the scripture. But today, as we continue our series on Teach Us to Pray, as in Luke chapter 11, one of the disciples, he came to Jesus and he said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And I really felt led by the Holy Spirit to talk about this for a series of weeks on Teach Us to Pray, because we all need to learn and grow in our prayer, in our communication with the Father, because I believe that a Christian that doesn't pray isn't really much of a Christian at all. And so if we want to be Christ followers, then we need to follow in the ways of Christ. And Jesus made it a habit to pray. He prayed often. He would withdraw into the wilderness and find a place where he could pray. So last week, we talked about unhindered prayer. This morning, I want to talk to you about assisted prayer. Okay, assisted prayer. Most people don't want to hear this, but you need help, right? We don't like hearing that because it makes us feel inferior. But in reality, when it comes to the Father, we are inferior and we need help. We don't know everything. None of us are the sum total of wisdom or of knowledge. We need help. And Jesus had this understanding, this knowledge, because he knew everything. He could see everything. And he looked at the disciples and he knew by knowledge and inspiration of what the Lord was showing him that they can't make it on their own. If I go to heaven and I don't leave them somebody, they're not going to make it. It's not going to be benefit. It's not going to benefit them. It's not going to prosper them. I need to leave them an assistant. I need to leave them a helper. I need to leave them an advocate. And so he gave us the Holy Spirit, because no one in and of themselves are self-sufficient. Nobody, right? No one is able to make it all on their own. We all need assistance in life. There are things that I can't get done on my own. There are some things that I simply don't possess the knowledge, the know-how, or the ability to do. That's why when we have work nights and we come together, many hands make light work. We can get so much more done because I can't do everything on my own. You can't do everything on your own. But when we come together, there are things that we're able to do. And it's the same way with prayer. There are things that we can't do on our own. But when the Holy Spirit, the Helper, comes into our life and he fills us and he reveals things to us, then all of a sudden we're able to pray at a level that we were not able to pray before. Just last week, we were driving here to come work one day, and I was in my truck. Pastor Madison was in her car, and I pulled up to the four-way at Rainesville, and my wife is sitting there with her hazards on at the light. And I was talking to Brandon on the phone. I said, hang on, Brandon, I gotta go. Madison's in front of me with her hazards on. And what had happened is her alternator had gone out. And her car, we somehow, by the grace of God, we got it out of the intersection without having to push it, because I was like, Lord, I don't want to get out and have to push this thing through this intersection. But somehow we got it over there by Y'all are locals. You know, we were by the snow cone place, okay? But they weren't open. I mean, what a terrible time for the snow cone place to not be open, because if you're going to be broke down, you should at least be broke down with a snow cone. Come on. I mean, so anyways, they weren't open. So, I mean, bad day turned to worse, because now we got no alternator, no snow cone. And so we're sitting there. We called Brandon, and Brandon was so gracious to come down and lend us his jump box, and we got it to his work. But here's the thing. Here's the point that I want to make by that. In order to change an alternator on a 2014 Nissan Pathfinder, Brandon, what all has to come off? The entire front end of the vehicle has to come off. Now, listen, y'all, changing a headlight is a challenge for this old boy, okay? I'm just not mechanically minded. I can do some things. I can change oil, but I can't change an alternator on a 2014 Nissan Pathfinder. But Brandon is a very skilled mechanic, and he knew exactly what to do because he'd already put an alternator on it last year on that same car. He knew, he was like, when I told him it was the alternator, he said, oh, because he'd already done it once, and he's like, I'm gonna have to do this thing again because Pastor Spencer surely can't do it. It'd take me from now until Jesus came back. I would really need the helper if I had to change an alternator in a Nissan Pathfinder. But Brandon possessed the knowledge and knew exactly, he had all the right tools, he knew what to do, how to do it, and he did it in a tenth of the time that it would have taken me to do it. Why? Because he has knowledge and experience and ability that I don't have. Okay, another example, my boys right now, Judah, Bethel, and Bo, they are 9, 6, and 4, and they have baseball fever, okay? They are just lit on fire about baseball, and I'm going to tell you what, it makes this dad happy because I was a baseball nut growing up, and now they want to watch the Cardinals every night, come on somebody, and they are just so excited. They want to, today, the first thing my four-year-old said to me this morning, I opened up my bedroom door, he was standing there wrapped in a little doggy blanket, he said, are we going to the baseball field today? He was just, that was the first thing out of his mouth. They're sleeping with their baseball gloves, okay? I mean, they are just, and I used to do that. That's how I was about baseball. They are so excited. But in order to get them ready to play their first year of baseball next year, I have to work with them. I have to train them. I have to show them how to throw, how to catch, how to run bases. What do you do if you're on first base and there's a fly ball and there's only one out? Do you run or do you not run? Do you try to tag? Do you not try to tag? I've got to teach them and train them. I have to share with them the knowledge that I have that they don't yet possess if they're going to be ready and they're going to accomplish what they want to accomplish, their end result goal of being good baseball players, right? Well, in the same way, if we want to successfully pray and communicate with the Father, we need to tap into a higher form of knowledge and revelation that can only come by the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus said later, as he kept talking to his disciples, he said, listen, it's to your advantage that I go away. You think it'd be better for me to stay with you, but I'm going to send you a helper that is going to take you to a higher level of living. He's going to open up doors and avenues and revelation that you never could possess or know if he didn't come and reveal it to you. And so if we're going to pray properly, we must have the helper of the Holy Spirit. I am so thankful and I am so glad that God saw fit to give us Holy Spirit, to help us, to assist us, and to lead us in our life and our time on this earth. We need assisted prayer. That's what he can offer to us. He can offer you assistance in prayer. This, the word assistance in the English language, by definition, means this. It means the action of helping someone with a job or task. You might not know it. Like I said, nobody wants to hear this. You need help in your prayer life. I need help in my prayer life. And the perfect one to give you the assistance is the one that Jesus called the helper. So if we realize we have understanding, I need help in my prayer life, well, guess what? He's already given us the helper that we need. There is never a problem, situation, or task that you will face that he did not already provide everything that you need for it. In fact, the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, by his divine power, he has already given to us everything that pertains both to life and to godliness. So if there's anything that you need, he already offered it to us by his divine power. What did Jesus say in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The Holy Ghost empowers you and enables you to do what you cannot do in and of yourself, especially when it comes to prayer. Did you know that the helper, the Holy Spirit, will help you in praying? Because as you can, and he will teach you. Remember, our series is Teach Us to Pray, because the disciples asked, teach us to pray. How many of y'all want to learn better how to pray? I'm not afraid to admit I've been walking with the Lord for over 20 years now, but I still need to know better how to pray. Well, thankfully, Jesus told the disciples, as you keep reading in John chapter 14, he said, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will teach you in all things. How many of you think prayer falls into the category of all things? So he will assist us in learning and knowing not just how to pray, but how to better pray. Not just how to open up our mouth and begin to talk, but how to pray prayers that are effective, okay? Because the book of James says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. What that means is there are prayers that are not effectual. Because if there's effectual prayers, then there must be prayers that are not effectual, taking no effect. And the Holy Spirit will assist you and teach you and help you so that when you pray, it's not hindered, because he will convict the world of sin. He will comfort you. He will encourage you. He will guide you. He will help you pray effectual prayers. What that means when it says he will teach us in all things is if you need to know it, he will always be there to offer assistance and revelation that will empower you to grow and perform the will of the Father. Listen, the Holy Spirit, I like to call him this, a game changer. The Holy Spirit changes the game. Maybe you guys are, I'll tell you, I'm all right. I'm going to use college football analogies because it's college football season, and Paul was a Greek to the Greek and a Roman to the Romans. I like college football. Y'all like college football, so you'll understand this. Yesterday, the difference maker in the fourth quarter of the Texas-Alabama game was the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, Bryce Young. If he wouldn't have made that 17-yard scramble with just a few seconds left to set up the field goal, Texas would have won the football game. He was a difference maker in that moment. Well, in a much better, higher way, the Holy Spirit changes the game. He brings you to a new level that you could not perform at without him. He will teach you and grow you in all things. But first, let me say this as we talk about Holy Spirit. He is a being, not a thing. The Holy Spirit is not this thing that we try to explore and we can't wrap our heads around. He is a living being, part of the Trinity, that will live inside of you, that will allow you to walk in him, walk with him. He is a part of the Trinity. Listen, the Holy Spirit is not a watered down, diminished version of God. He is God. We believe that, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus promises you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So what that means is if you're living without power, if you're praying weak prayers that are not effective, if you are easily overcome by temptation, you are overwhelmed by or prone to bouts of discouragement and depression and anxiety, and your life is drowning in fear and doubt and worry, you need the assistance of the Holy Ghost in your life, because he will give you power over temptation, power to pray effectual prayers, power to overcome depression and anxiety. I love what the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 3, verse 3. He says, you are the glory and the lifter of my head. If you read verse 1 and 2, David, the psalmist, is basically saying, everything's bad. Everybody's out to give me. But you, O God, are the lifter of my head. You encourage me. You lift me up. And one of the definitions of the word helper is an encourager. The Holy Spirit will encourage you and give you power when you feel discouraged and despondent and down and troubled. But so many people, they see somebody that's spirit-filled or that has an experience where they get the Holy Ghost comes upon them and lives within them, and they say, oh, you know what? I don't know if I want that because they're spirit-filled and they're weird. Listen, they were weird before they were spirit-filled. Don't blame that on the Holy Ghost, okay? That girl was already weird before she spoke in tongues. She was already weird before she started saying she was spirit-filled. So don't blame weird on the Holy Ghost, because Holy Ghost isn't weird. People are weird. There's weird people at the bar. There's weird. Watch college football and tell me there ain't weird people in the stadium, half naked, painted half one color, half the other, and you want to come in church and say they're weird because they dance and they're weird because they shout. No, listen, people are weird. The Holy Spirit is not weird. So let me say this also. One, the Holy Spirit is a being, not a thing. Number two, you don't get the Spirit as much as the Spirit gets you. Okay? People say, I got it. I got the Holy Spirit. No, you didn't get the Holy Spirit. What happened is the Holy Spirit got you, because you can't be filled with something unless you're first empty. Okay? And so when we become empty and we finally surrender, if you want to walk in his power and be taught by him and instructed by him and comforted by him and convicted by him, here's what it takes. Total surrender. Some people wonder, why haven't I been filled with the Spirit yet? Because you won't let go of you. If you'll let go of you, trust me, he will fill you up. He wants to fill you. So many people struggle with the baptism of the Holy Ghost because they're like, I can't get it. I can't get it. If you focus on him getting you instead of you getting it, because you can't wrap your mind around the fact that, you know, it's not an it, but he is a being that loves you and wants to fill you, just let go and he will fill you, okay? So Paul told the Galatians, he said, if we live in the Spirit, and that phrase live in the Spirit translated literally means if we have been made alive by the Spirit, because the book of Romans says if the same Spirit who raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives inside of you, he will give life to your mortal bodies. He said, if you've been made alive by the Spirit, then let us also walk in the Spirit. What he's saying is this, if the Spirit of God has made you alive, then don't walk how you want to walk. Walk where the Spirit wants you to walk. Because he also said earlier in that same passage, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of our flesh. So my encouragement to you today, friend, is surrender your life, your will, your plans, and let him lead you. Because he will always lead you if you read what Jesus says about the Helper, about the Holy Spirit. He says he will guide us into truth. Okay? And Jesus also said, you will know the truth and the truth shall make you free. So if the Spirit guides you into truth, ultimately he's guiding you into freedom. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is perfect freedom. In our text, John 14, 16, Jesus says, I will pray the Father and he will, not he might, but he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Now the Greek word for helper here is parakletos. And it's actually two words that are joined together to make one word. And the first part being para, which means close beside. So Jesus is saying, I want you to understand that the helper, the Holy Spirit that I'm going to send, he's not distant. He's going to be close beside you. And then kaleo makes up the second part of the word, and it means make a call. So here's what that means when you blend those two words together, is that if you aren't praying to a God that is distant, disconnected, far away, but he is close beside you and he's helping you make the right call in your life. He's right there so that when you don't know what to do and you need to pray about something, you don't have to pray to a God that is a million light years away. He gave you a helper, the Holy Spirit, that you can say, Holy Spirit, what should I do in this moment? And he's close beside you and he'll make the call. He'll tell you, you need to go this way. You need to say this. You need to make this decision in your life. But the word Parakletos is often translated as advocate or comforter. In fact, if you read some translations, Jesus doesn't say, I will send you the helper. He says rather that the Father will send you an advocate. And it was the New Testament term for lawyer. That's the word that Jesus chose, parakletos. He was saying, I will send you an advocate. I'll send you a lawyer. Now, what do lawyers do? Lawyers, one thing they do is they defend, but another thing that they do is they are called counsel or counselor, you know? And so the Holy Spirit, he will counsel you to make the right decision and call in your life, and he will assist you in your prayers. And as I previously stated, he will teach you in all things, even how to pray. He will show you. He's right there beside you. When you don't know what to pray, lean into the Holy Spirit. When you don't know what direction to go, what to do, lean into him because he's close by and he will help you make the call. He will help you pray. In fact, the Holy Spirit offers you the assistance that you need in order to properly entreat the Father. Let me show you what I mean. Go with me to Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. If you don't have your Bible, that's okay. We'll have it on the screens for you. Romans 8, 26 and 27. This is Paul writing to the church in Rome, and he's instructing them about this exact matter that we're talking about today. Here's what he says, picking up in verse 26 of Romans, verse 8. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, I don't know about you, but there have been many, 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 many times in my life when I didn't know what to pray. I knew that I should pray, but I didn't know what to pray. I knew it would be beneficial to pray, but when I opened my mouth, nothing came out. When I decided I'm going to go and I'm going to pray, I ended up just sitting there because I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. I didn't even know where to begin. Anybody else felt like that before? Come on, don't make me feel like the only lump on a log sometimes that I'm like, I know I should pray, but God, I don't even know what to say right now. I don't even know what I should do. I know there's power in prayer, but I don't feel any power right now. I don't even know where to start. But it's in that moment of weakness that the helper, the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the counselor, the one who's close beside helping us make the call. The Bible says, Paul wrote and he said, the helper, the Holy Spirit, he will begin to pray because we don't even know what we should pray. We don't even know what we ought to pray, but it's in that moment of weakness that he will help us. Listen, you and I need the assistance of the Holy Spirit in our prayer because even when we don't know what to pray, he'll pray through us. He'll pray for us. And listen, when he prays, according to verse 27, he always prays according to the will of God. Yeah. And that's something that ties into what we talked about last week. If we don't pray in accordance with his will, we can't expect our prayers to be answered. But it says that he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So if he's praying the perfect will of God for you and through you, he's assisting you when you don't know what to do. He is helping you to pray in a way that will make your prayers effective and beneficial. And if you don't leave here with anything else today, any other knowledge, any other understanding, I hope you leave with this, knowing I need the helper in my life. I need the Holy Spirit in my life. I need the assistance because I can't make every decision on my own. And there are times that I can't even pray right because the scripture says we don't even know what to pray. But he does, and he will pray for us and with us. Listen, you need the Holy Spirit not just on Sunday mornings when you come into church. You don't just need the Holy Spirit on Wednesday nights when you come to prayer meeting. You don't just need the Holy Spirit when we have revival and there's you know, the altars are filled. You need the Holy Spirit when you clock in tomorrow morning. You need the Holy Spirit when you are on break on Thursday afternoon. You need the Holy Spirit when you're tempted within your soul. You need the Holy Spirit when you have a decision to make and you're stressing out about it and you don't know what to do, because when you don't even know how to pray, he'll begin to pray through you. He will assist you and help you and guide you every single moment of every single day. Because remember what Jesus said. He said, I will pray the Father and he will send you another helper and he will abide with you. How long? Forever. Forever. Listen, the Holy Spirit isn't looking for your first moment of weakness to turn and leave. That's when he gets even closer. So many people think that, oh, well, you know, I've got to be perfect or I've got to be, you know, just right. No, listen, that's why you need the Holy Spirit, is because without him, you cannot and you will not effectively live as a follower of Jesus Christ. Because what does the Holy Spirit do? He helps us in our moments of weakness. That word weakness means moral frailty. So when you are feeling weak in your morals and you're not sure if you can make the right decision, if you can say no to ungodliness and worldly lust, the Holy Spirit in that moment, when you are living with the helper and he's inside of you, he is strengthening you and enabling you to do what you can't do on your own. And sometimes we wonder why we're so weak and why we're so easily overturned or overcome. It's because we're not leaning into the assistance that the helper will give, the Holy Spirit. The moving of the helper and the assistance of the helper is not reserved or confined to a time or a place. He said he will abide with you forever. No matter where you go, no matter what you're facing, he will be there with you. He is there at all times, and he is praying for you even when you don't know how to pray for yourself. You and I need him to assist us in our prayers. Amen? If you're attempting to pray without the helper, you are missing out on a world of benefits. You're just scratching the surface. I'm not saying you shouldn't keep trying, you shouldn't keep going, but what I'm telling you is this: if you are trying to pray without the assistance of the helper, you will think prayer doesn't work. Prayer is not effective. Why am I wasting my time? But if you will learn how to pray in the Holy Spirit and pray with the Holy Spirit and allow Him to pray in you and with you and through you, you will begin to see your prayer become so much more effective and so much better. Listen, let's go back to what it says in the book of James. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much, right? Now, how do we fit the Holy Spirit into that? Well, it says in John chapter 14 that the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, but it will also convict the world of righteousness. Now, when you look at that word convict, it means convince more than it means to make feel bad. So what he's saying is he will convince you of righteousness. So it's the righteous person's prayers that are effectual, but we can't be righteous unless we have been convinced by the Holy Spirit of what righteousness actually is. Okay, so we need the Holy Spirit in our life. And I want to remind you of that name that Jesus gave the Holy Spirit, Parakletos, meaning right beside and make the call. When you pray in the Spirit, and hopefully you've heard that terminology before, pray in the Spirit. Listen, pray in the Spirit doesn't always mean to pray in tongues. There's a time and there's a place for praying in tongues. We believe in praying in tongues. We believe that's one of the ways that we pray in the Spirit. But Paul said, I will pray in the Spirit and I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing in the Spirit and I will also sing with the understanding. In fact, he told the Corinthians, he said, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than all of you guys. But he said, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding in the church than 10,000 words in a tongue so that the church may be edified. You may wonder, if the well is a Spirit-filled Pentecostal church, why don't they pray in tongues more? Listen, we pray in tongues, and I might say like Paul, I pray in tongues more than all of you guys, but I would rather stand up here and say 5 words that you can understand and take out of those doors and make beneficial to your life than stand up here and walk back and forth and speak in tongues for 30 minutes and everybody leave going, well, I'm glad we came to watch the Spencer show today, right? So I'm not against speaking in tongues at all. In fact, I believe that that is part of praying in the Spirit. But what happens is we have to understand that when we pray in the Spirit or when we pray in tongues, our mind is unfruitful. And that's what Paul is saying in that passage. So there's a time and a place, but praying in the Spirit simply means that the Spirit is praying through you. That can be in English, or that can be in a different tongue, or that can be in your prayer language. But we have to learn how to tap in to the Spirit of God. How do we allow Him to pray in and through us? And when you pray in the Spirit, remember this, He is right here with you. He's close beside. You aren't praying, like I said earlier, to a God that is miles and miles away. That's why He gave you the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, it's advantageous for you that I go to the Father, because if I don't go, the Spirit won't come to be right there close with you, because Jesus had to go back to the Father. And so thankfully, He sent us the Holy Spirit, who is right beside, and He will reveal to you the will of God and the way to go. Now, as I close, I want to show you a benefit of praying in the Spirit on a regular basis. Now remember, when I say praying in the Spirit, I am talking about praying in tongues, but I'm also talking about just allowing the Spirit of God to lead you in your prayer, assist you in your prayer. There are times that I get into my prayer time and I'm not really sure what to do or what to pray, so I just begin to pray in my prayer language, and then as I pray, the Lord will drop something in my heart and I'll begin to pray on that matter because He's revealed it to me by His Spirit, and He has assisted me in how I ought to pray and how I ought to entreat the Father. So I want you to look with me at Jude chapter 1, because there's only one chapter in Jude. Jude chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. And this is what the brother of Jesus wrote in his epistle. He said, but you, beloved. So anytime you see the word beloved, he's talking to the church. He's talking to the body of Jesus Christ. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. Verse 19 says, these are sensual persons who cause divisions. Here's why I wanted to read these verses. Not having the Spirit. Okay? It's important as believers that we have relationship with the Helper, with the Holy Spirit, because he examples these people who cause divisions, these people who mock, these people who are sensual. They do not have the Spirit of God assisting them in their life. He says, but you, in verse 20, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Here's what I want to say to you. When you pray in the Spirit, with the Helper giving you assistance, you are building up your faith. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, he says, but you, beloved, don't be like these people that don't have the Spirit, because there is nothing worse than having access but not using it. So what he's saying is these people don't have the Spirit, but you do. So you should therefore pray in the Holy Spirit, because when you pray in the Spirit, you are building up on your most holy faith. Now, why would you say that unless our faith at times really, really needed to be built up? Because I don't know about you, but there's been times where I felt like my faith tank was about like this. I know that he gave each man a measure of faith, but sometimes I feel like my faith has become diminished. But when I pray in the Spirit, the Bible says I am building up my most holy faith. It's like taking your faith to the gym and pumping weight and working it out and getting stronger and stronger. And that is why we need to have the assistance of the Holy Spirit, because when my faith is weakened, it can be built up by praying in the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you, pray in and with the Spirit every single day. Don't pray without the assistance of the Holy Spirit. It would be like, I'm going to use another sports analogy. Y'all know I just use sports analogy. I'm going to stop apologizing for it. It'd be like having Michael Jordan on the bench and not using him, is what it would be like in a basketball game. It would be like having, you know, the reigning Heisman Trophy winner and just letting him sit on the bench and letting a scruff in there. There is no point in doing life without the Holy Spirit, because it's a gift that God has extended to us. But so many people think that's weird. I don't know if I still believe in that. Listen, it is necessary that we walk with the Holy Spirit. And if we're praying without praying in the Spirit, listen, our faith will not be built up. If we're praying without the Holy Spirit, it is sure we will ask amiss. If we're praying without the Holy Spirit, we will pray prayers that are not effectual. But when we pray in the Spirit, all those things come over to the other side. Our prayers become effectual. They become they become powerful. They become where they're faith-building prayers. And I want to encourage you, pray every day in the Holy Spirit. Be like Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, pray without ceasing, and see that your faith will be strong even in the moments of adversity and trial and tribulation, because you've been, listen, when you've been prayed up and you've been praying in the Holy Spirit, you have the assurance that I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. It doesn't matter what comes my way, because I already know I've already had a talk with the Helper today, and I know that he's going to be there to comfort me and to assist me and to strengthen me and to give me power. So here's what I want to encourage you with in your prayer life. Don't be a lone ranger. Don't neglect the help that you need, because there's so many people that, like I said at the beginning, we don't want to hear, you need help. But listen, when it comes to prayer, you need help. When it comes to prayer, I need help. And the Helper has already been given. So why would we not tap into and access the gift that has come from God? And he's saying, I'm giving you part of me to walk with you, to teach you, to instruct you, to assist you, so that you can properly communicate with the Father. Because even when you don't know what to pray, he'll still pray through. He gives you, and you may wonder, how can I pray without ceasing? By being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because even when you don't know what to pray, he's still praying. Yeah. That, and so through you, in you, he's still praying and communing with the Father as we walk in the Holy Spirit. So don't neglect the help that you need. Let the Holy Spirit assist you in your prayers. Amen. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Don't forget, we're going to baptize Devin right after service here today. Devin, why don't you go ahead, brother, and you can go ahead and start getting changed. We'll meet you out there in just a minute. But I want to pray for you today with the assistance of the Holy Spirit. And if you're saying simply today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to sit the assistance of the Holy Spirit in my life, would you just lift your hands? I want his help in my prayer life. I want his help on my job. Lord, I just pray, as I know that you see every single hand that is lifted today, I pray for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Some people say, can you be filled with the Spirit more than once? I would say absolutely, because in Acts chapter 2, they were filled, and in Acts chapter 4, they were filled. Same people were present on both occasions. So Lord, I'm praying for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you would blow through this room today. We need you, helper. We need you, advocate. We need you, comforter. We need you, convictor. We need you to fill our lives and assist us in prayer. We need you to assist us in making the call, the right decision, change the game, open up doors, open up avenues of prayer that we've never been in before. Lord, I pray that as the Spirit of God intercedes through us, that we would move into places of prayer and standing in the gap and intercession like we have never known before. So Lord, I'm praying, and I know that you will. As Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will send you another helper. I thank you that every prayer of Jesus was answered and the Holy Spirit has been given to the earth, to your people, those that have been bought and washed in the blood. I pray today for a fresh filling, and that we would not pray unassisted prayers that are not effectual, but that we would pray according to the will of God through the Holy Spirit helping us and giving us the assistance that we need. Lord, I pray for the one that's struggling in knowing how do I pray, what do I pray. Lord, I pray that you would just instruct them today by the Holy Spirit and teach us in all things, that we can draw closer to you, that we can know your heart, that we can be nearer and nearer to the will of God and to the heart of the Father. We love you and we honor you today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Would you lift your hands and receive this blessing? May the Lord bless you and keep, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you, and may you walk closely with the Helper, the Holy Spirit, in every single situation, every single decision, every single moment of every single day. And it's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.